So YouTube has been on people's minds, especially in the podcasting space, for quite a bit now. Mm. YouTube has been the hot girl of summer.
Yeah, but it's kind of like she wasn't and then she came back from summer break.
Or like she was and she got all her braces off and, you know, all of that. And then now
she had a glow up and everyone's like, is that YouTube?
Give me some of that.
I'm sorry I didn't see it before, but hello.
Hello. So that's what we're here to talk about is how to get a piece of that. I don't want to say it.
No, but I think we've all said it in our minds.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. So, So moving on. So basically, if you did want a piece of it, then this is definitely the series. So last episode, I had JP Hi-Tech on, who we work closely with on the YouTube strategy side, basically breaking down what it means, like what you have to do to actually get clients from your YouTube content. And so in this episode, we're actually going to talk to some of those elements and how we here at Capture are actually, how we think about it and how we're also implementing it, because I want to make it really clear that we ourselves have only been on this YouTube journey, like in actual implementation, for maybe the last couple months.
Yes.
So we're, you know, we're very open to the fact that we are doing this with you. We're playing the content game alongside you. So every learning that we have, we share. Every mistake that we make, we share. All of the
many mistakes.
Exactly. And you can actually hear those in the Players Only podcast, which is in our community. Totally free, but we'll leave the link for that in the show notes as well. But that's kind of the intro of this episode. So basically, if you are here, if you're looking to really get your teeth into YouTube and you don't want to just hear it from like a strategic conceptual perspective, I mean, because that's important. Mm-hmm. You know, we all need to start there. But this episode, you're here because you want to actually hear how we are putting it into practice, how the things that we had to think through to go like, get that strategy, get that concept, but that doesn't really quite work for us. So here's what we're going to do and try instead. So we're going to share some of those things with you on this episode. My name's Deidre Shen.
I'm Bonna Rai.
And this is Win the Content Game. Okay, so let's get into it. So really quickly, if we recap, JP in the last episode ran through some really important, almost like a checklist, I would say, which is awesome. Like things that we need to be thinking about if our aim to be on YouTube is to actually get clients, which, by the way, if you're listening to this, you're an entrepreneur, that is probably the thing that you're looking to get, right? Mm-hmm. You're looking to get clients, you're looking to grow your email list really importantly, and you're looking to convert them in some way. And so one of the things that he spoke about was the first thing he actually spoke about was about the offer, mm-hmm. about building your offer before coming to YouTube. Now, we've had this debate, especially with a current client of ours, about what an offer is. Because I know that when we hear the word offer, it means, oh, it's the course or the coaching program or the mastermind or the thing that I'm actually going to charge people for.
Someone's going to buy from you. Yep.
Exactly. And I just want to make it really, really clear that that is not the definition of an offer. I know that in the entrepreneurship space, we've kind of bastardized that word a little bit. So taking full accountability of that. But really, if you go back to the basics of what the definition is of the word offer, that's actually what we mean when we say offer, right? So that really comes down to what is it that you are going to offer to the world? And it doesn't mean offer for money. Mm. It could be offer for attention, offer for eyeballs,
time.
For time, offer, you know, what is it that you're going to put out there that people are actually going to care about?
Yes, that's valuable and useful to them still.
Exactly, yeah, because when we're talking to a client about this and we say the word offer, she's like, well, I don't know what my offer is. I'm not at that stage. I don't have, you know, it's not clearly articulated in my mind. And it's like, that's actually not the point. It's not the thing that you're looking to monetize. It's literally, what are you offering to the world by way of, in this example, by way of content.
Yep. And I think that's a useful frame regardless, because if you don't have an offer yet, I think really being really, really crystal clear about what value you're offering with your content will actually help you build the right thing.
Yes.
And if you already have an offer, maybe it's not for, and you're not happy with the conversion rates on it, for example, it may well be because it's not valuable.
Exactly.
So this more broad definition, broad's the wrong word, but this more, I guess, all-encompassing definition of offer is actually really important, I think, constantly, every week, every time you're creating a piece of content, really go back to and say, is this what I still want to be offering? Is this still the person I want to be offering it to? And is it valuable to them and useful to them?
Yeah, because, you know, if you take aside, put aside the product capture as a quote unquote offer, like put that to the side, right? Let's just say all we're doing is this podcast. Then our offer went from, hey, let's help people grow their podcast, downloads, listeners, you know, grow their show, to let's actually help entrepreneurs win the content game.
Yeah.
Like actually get clients from their content, right? You can see like that is an offer just by itself. We're not monetizing it, but this is the thing that we're offering to the world. And you know, we have a lot of people who will turn around and be like, eh, not for me. And that's cool. Yeah. Like that's actually great because then we know that we're continuing to like whittle down our audience and our offer to the point where we actually know what it is that we can monetize and,
yes.
and is it a viably monetizable thing? That made sense, right?
It made sense. I don't know if it's a real world. It's one of those things. It's not a real word, but it should be viably monetizable.
Yeah.
Put that on a t-shirt. Yeah, I love it. I'm viably monetizable.
Yes, exactly. Okay. So that's the first thing that we would say about the offer, but that kind of actually leads into, okay, how do we here at Capture, how do we see our offer and the relevant solutions that then, you know, JP talks about? Because once you have to kind of know what you're offering to the world first before you can start creating content. I feel like that's a pretty foundational
I would say
thing,
so.
Right? Like you got to kind of start somewhere unless you're just, I wouldn't even know. I can't even think of an example of, I guess you could just get on a mic and talk about random stuff.
Yeah. But even then, I think even if the content is a little random to start with, you would have some sort of, I don't know, but everyone I've met who does get on a mic to do stuff is because they feel an urge to either entertain, to educate, add something of value. So the content may be a little random to begin with, but I think you have something that's driving you that you want to offer to the world and to your audience. So
yeah, for sure. So when even when we think about that, right, we've gone from the example of like, we're going to help people grow their podcast to we're just going to help entrepreneurs win the content game, i.e. get more clients from their content. And that means that the content that we create is all about that. So that's why we're sharing strategies like the YouTube, like what, you know, what we just did with JP last week and what we're doing with you today, which is like, hey, this is how you can use YouTube. And this is the strategy to actually get clients from your content. The series we had before JP was with Katie Brinkley around social media to be like, this is the strategy that you can use to get clients from social media.
And I think the relevant solutions around the content as well is also changing up the format. I think in the previous version, it was all like, here are all of the strategies kind of in out of order and just do, you know, pick your poison basically. Whereas now we're going, no, the whole point of winning the content game thing that you need is focus and you need like deep expertise to apply it. So even the way the content was delivered and structured also changed. So that's where you, when you really start to focus, you go, if it's about helping people want in the content game, one of the things that gets in the way of that is being too spread out across too many things and having a superficial understanding of it versus really committing to the main foundational pillars and doing them well.
Yes, 100%. And I want to just add in here because JP didn't really quite talk to this point, but I know having, you know, worked with him for a while that this is important around when we are thinking about creating relevant solutions for recording, there's a lot that comes into it. There's the content side, obviously, that's like going to be one of the main things, but there's also things like frequency and how you actually show up on a platform like YouTube. And you know, JP is you know, he's a YouTube person, right? That's his main form of, you know, creating content. And so he was like, yeah, do what I do and go live every week. And we're like,
I will not be doing that. We love you, JP.
About that. Yeah. and the thing too about YouTube is that based on what he's taught us is that they actually penalize you if you, let's say you go live once a week, they actually penalize you if you don't do it the same time and day each week, which I didn't even know about. So, you know, these are some
talk about commitment. Yeah.
Right. And so for us, when I was looking at that and going like, but if I'm going to have guests on, you know, then that means that every single one of them has to have, I don't know, let's say it's like Wednesday, 10 a.m. free, like, and that's just not possible. Right. And so I know as well that a lot of you listening or watching to this, you're pulling the same boat where you have guests on and it's like, but they're not going to be able to do the exact same time and day every week. And by the way, as well, I like to actually pre-record because maybe the way that you edit it and things like that, you know, takes a little bit more production time.
Yep.
And so when we looked at that, we were like, okay, we're going to do a little bit of a compromise. So you can very well, this is how we're doing it, which means that you can very well just steal what it is that we're doing. That's why we're doing this episode. But we actually have a specific playlist for our podcast on our channel, which is basically we drop that as a pre-recorded video.
Yep.
Once a week.
And as part of the glow up, YouTube has made a specific spot for podcasts. So the people looking for podcasts, they do see all of the podcasts specifically. So yes. That's great.
Yeah. And the great thing is then you can almost schedule them. So they do drop same time, same day each week.
Yep.
Basically. So that's what we do for our podcast. And then because I do know, and I've experienced this, I've now done two live masterclasses on YouTube. And they do get a ton of engagement and a ton more views than something that was pre-recorded. So I would highly, highly encourage people to lean into the live aspect of YouTube. And I only do that once a month.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in speaking to JP, I was like, okay, does it have to be like the same time and day each month? And he's like, yep, literally in your calendar every 4 weeks, count it out and you want to put it on the same time and same day. And I was like, oh, okay. All right. Well, that's more doable, at least because it's just once a month. And, you know, the guests that I kind of, or the experts that I curate for that, you know, we can have, like, they're usually happy to, you know, even if they have to move things around to make that time and day work. But at least I only have to do that once a month, once every 4 weeks, rather than trying to get people to do that once every week.
Exactly.
So if that's the strategy that you want to go down, then you can very well do that. And if you're inside of Capshow Club, by the way, then we can hop on the calls and we can help you through exactly what you need to enable that and do all the things. So that's one of the perks of being part of Capshow Club, which if you haven't heard yet, I don't know if founding member offer is still open. Check it in the link in the show notes. We'll leave it there. But yeah, if you're listening to this at the right time, you're going to want to get in on the founding member offer.
Very limited seats.
Ridiculous basement prices for all of
it's like cost price.
It's not even. It's like we're losing. Anyway, okay. Let's move on because I'm starting to get it.
You're getting a rash.
Yeah, exactly. A panic attack is going to come on. Anyway. Okay, so what we were talking about before the panic attack started.
Panic attack's important. Breathe it
out. Yes, yeah.
And we were offering relevant solutions.
Yes, okay. Yep. So that's, and so I was speaking to a lot of podcasters about that, about doing that frequency, and they're like, oh, okay, that's doable.
You can do that.
You can do that, right? So at a very minimum, I would say do that. But if you want to really lean into YouTube, then oh my gosh, yes, go live every week. I mean,
maybe you are a JP.
Yeah. I mean, there is a reason why JP's been able to grow his channels, you know, as quickly as he has. Mm. I don't expect to have that much growth because of just the way that we've bastardized the strategy.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that is something to take into account because we know that apart from the actual content that you're creating, you need to be able to commit to a workflow that works for you.
Yes.
For YouTube. Okay. So that's the creating relevant solutions part of it. And then he did talk about things like click per conversion, client retention, length of video, creating highly converting videos. And so let's talk about even like the last masterclass that I did, which was kind of really fun. It was fun. Okay. Yeah. Well, good. Okay. Cause yeah. I never know. So again, if you missed that I had Josh Tapp on from the Pantheon. He's a really, really great friend. Such an amazing person. So giving. I cannot speak highly enough of him. There's a reason why I actually do a mastermind with him. Like we co-host one because he's just such a genuine person and he's so super smart.
He is.
So smart. Like, okay, anyway, so enough about...
It's a Josh fan
club. Enough about me fangirling over Josh.
But you never tell him, so I hope he watches this.
Yeah, don't tell him, actually. Yeah.
Josh may not know this, that Deidre thinks this about him.
So what was it? Yeah, so we did a masterclass, an expert masterclass, I don't know how many weeks ago, by the time this podcast goes live. And it was the first time that I actually implemented... So we use Ecamm. And with Ecamm, there's a lot of, I guess, flexibility and customizability.
Customizability too, yeah.
Around how you can like with overlays and things like that. So I decided to experiment with some in the masterclass. Yeah.
Experiments are good. A good word to use. There may or may not have been times there's two Deidre's on the screen. But hey, that was still a great pattern interrupt. I was like, by Josh's voice.
Anyway, you're definitely going to want to catch that because you can see some of all the mistakes that
talk about panic attacks.
But it's great. Like, this is, I hope that you're even getting from this conversation the journey that, like, A, we're on the journey with you, but B, it's okay to make mistakes.
Totally.
Like, that is actually what makes you real. And so when, so JP was on that live, like, he was watching it, and I remember catching up with him afterwards, and I was like, please don't roast me for this, JP, but how did you find it? And he was obviously incredibly gracious.
Yes.
But he was like, man, like, he just loved how real it was. Mm. You know, all of the mistakes. He was like, he called me a pro, which I wouldn't say that I'm a pro, but I think pro by way of like, well,
handling the situation.
I was like, okay, well, oops, I'm just going to close that.
Did I end the live? No, we're still good. Let's keep going.
I'm just there doing my thing and trying to, you know, engage with Josh and engage with the audience.
Yes.
And but it was a ton of fun. And so it's hard to actually talk about, like, you almost need to watch it.
Yes.
And see what it is that I did. And so that was everything from having segments to, I would say, what we started off with that, and we're going to keep building on it because everything is about just put one or two things out and then build upon that. So the two things that I tried in that masterclass was segments, the idea of segments, and overlays.
Mm.
Okay, so let's talk through those. So with segments, I was always, and there's different thoughts on this. I don't know yet, because I guess we don't have enough data. I don't know yet what is actually truth, because there's the thought of you just want to get straight into the thing. That's the way to hook people and get them staying, is like, just mm-hmm. get straight into the content, into the value,
the meat of it. Yep.
And to be honest, like, that's probably where I used to sit. I still kind of probably more sit than not. But what I wanted to try this time, because again, we're very coachable. JP was like, look, just try this out and let's see. And so what we did was I did like a little bit about what Capture is. I did a little bit and it was like a pre-recorded video that I just played. I did a pre-recorded video on our whole ethos around intelligently lazy, which led into a live segment.
The favorite part.
Yeah, the sloth trivia, yep, with Josh. And then there was like a bit more about Capture. So there were particular segments before we actually, it was probably a good 10 mm-hmm. minutes before we actually even got into the content,
yep,
for the masterclass, which I know that Josh was probably not even ready for, to be honest.
Well, he wasn't ready to answer trivia questions about sloths, I don't think. But yes,
yeah, but I don't know. But it, having watched it, like, what did you think?
I will say. So for me, I really enjoyed it. Kind of, I should probably start there, because it kind of warms you up into the content, like you said. And then sometimes we also, because I was also watching, making sure that, you know, people who had registered were getting the link stuff, and some people are a little bit late.
Yeah.
So it kind of, if they've got a hard stop before, so there's all of these things, I think, that just warms up the audience. And because if you've kind of given them an idea of how long it's going to take, they're not nervous about, wait, like, am I in the wrong place, and things like that. I will say it has to come to the data. And this is where I think it links to the previous point about relevant solutions, yes, and formats and stuff like that. Because we may find that as much as I enjoy it, or whoever else, yeah, enjoys it, our audience prefers the way that you were doing it before. And that's totally, yeah, fine. So I think this is where you have to be flexible. You have to be willing to try different things. It may even mean rerunning that content in a different way.
Yeah.
So I think it's just, but that's the whole point, is that, because even when you were talking about sort of being real with it, some people don't like that, and that's, yes, also okay. But that's the offer that you're making, is it's the kind of content we're going to put out, or the topic areas, but also the way we're going to go about it, is that, you know, so I think, and you won't know the answer to that without putting things out there.
Yeah.
You're okay with that.
100%. And like the one thing that I did enjoy about it was that it really highlighted our personality, like my personality, Capture's personality.
And the guest personality too.
And the guest personality. And I think that's really important, because when you think about what actually has people, and I go back to, you know, having like the 7-hour rule, right?
Yeah.
You know, in the book Oversubscribed by Daniel Priestley, he talks about this 7-hour rule that people become raving fans of yours when they spend 7 hours with you. And in an absolute sense, I think that that's right. But what it doesn't talk about is the nuance of, like, why are they then what will actually have them staying?
Mm.
And I feel like personality is such a big part of that. So
totally,
if by doing it this way, by almost showcasing our personality, if people don't actually vibe with that, like, that's actually almost a quicker way of having people self-select out.
Totally.
Which might, it's counterintuitive, because it's like, but I want more people watching and staying. But it's like, do you, I mean, don't you want the right people,
yes,
watching and staying? The ones, yep, that will not just wants to follow you for the value, but you actually want them to follow you because of the connection that you can actually personally make with
and
them.
And who you are. Yep.
Right. And I feel like that's the nuance that gets missed when we talk about, you know, having people stay and retention and watch time and things like that, is that, like, yes, but what is actually driving that?
Totally.
Right. And sometimes we might want to lose the people that don't vibe with that because they were never going to, like, because if they come across someone else who maybe in their minds gives more value to them, then they're not sticking around.
That's a really good point. And I also think maybe that's why it's actually really, really critical to do follow-ups on the content that you do. Because, for example, I may have missed the masterclass with Josh and had so much fun, because that was the other good part to it too. There was a lot of audience engagement.
Yeah.
And if I miss that, but I watch a follow-up clip of it and I was like, I didn't realize there was all of this fun things going on. Now let me, or it's someone completely new to you that just sees a repurposed clip of it or something like that. And they're like, oh, let me, this looks fun. This is different because they're your people.
Yes.
And then they go back to it. So I think that's why there is that is even more compelling as to why you should constantly, even once you do the main piece of content, you should keep getting it more out there to see who else of that same, because it's very easy to go, oh, it didn't really work. Maybe we won't do it next time.
Yeah.
So getting more data that way, I think, is really important too. Just a note to self.
And the other thing too that I want to talk about, so the segments, and I mentioned that we do talk, and this is very uncomfortable for me. I'm not going to lie, because I'm used to doing that thing where it's like, I want to give value and then make an ask. Whereas doing the segments this way was kind of a flip. It was almost like, there was a little bit of an ask first, like we kind of almost opened up with call to actions and then we gave value.
Right.
And I feel uncomfortable, rightly or wrongly, I personally felt uncomfortable with that. I don't really know why, so maybe we'll do another episode diving into my hidden traumas around that. But I did. And so this was a way for me to just be like, nope, you know what? I'm just going to put that to the side. Let's just do the thing and let's see, but more and more the talk or the conventional wisdom that is getting a lot more airplay is for people to actually start with their call to actions.
Mm-hmm.
Because
interesting,
as we know, like from an entrepreneurship selfish perspective, I think we all know that not everyone will stay until the end when we generally have our call to actions. And so it's kind of a bit of a wasted, you know,
opportunity. Yeah.
And so it's almost like, how do we start with that up front? We still want to give value, of course, and then we can still, you know, repeat the call to action. But that, doing it that way was kind of, I'm not going to lie, it was a little bit uncomfortable for me. So, but again, we tried it, and as long as it, we'll keep monitoring the data and see if it turns people off. But so far, and I guess that's the thing too, it's like doing it in an authentic and fun way, hopefully, as well helps.
Yeah. And also the fact that you're not just saying, hey, do this for me. It's very much like, I think, because thinking about it now, it was still qualifying people who are listening to say, hey, this is who's actually hosting this event, you know, and if this is not relevant, likely the content won't be relevant either. So
yes, exactly.
Not a bad thing.
And actually one of the people, like, so Luis, who did the series on this YouTube before this one, he actually spoke about, because I think I asked him, I was like, hey, because he's a big content creator, I respect the heck out of what he does with content.
He and his workflows are crazy.
Yeah. Oh, and he also did speak about, like, they have their pulse on the content world. Like, they have their pulse.
They have their finger on the content.
I missed everything. They definitely have their finger on the content pulse. And that was one of the things that they've been seeing, is that people, like, around people starting with their call to actions. And so that was one of his big piece of advice, is like, start with the call to action. And even the question I asked him was like, but how do you do it in a way that's like, not just go do this thing and then,
hey, know. It's me, do this. Yeah.
And I mean, he was like, look, you could even just say, I know a lot of people, you know, might not be able to stay for the whole time, so I just want to get this out of the way. Like, for people who need to hop off.
Yeah.
Go to this
thing. Make it about them.
Right? And so there are different ways that we can actually wrap that up. But I think, you know, it was like, okay, how do I just get out of my own head about this and just do the thing and then test it?
Mm.
So that was, that was an interesting thing that I found with segments. So anyway, that was segments. And the second thing was overlays.
Our favorite,
yeah. So again, go and watch that. So it was Josh, the masterclass with Josh Tapp. Our designer did some really cool overlays. And you know, I tried my best. I think I did pretty well. Yeah. With them, apart from like having to, I was like, oh, it's cutting off my head. Let me. Yeah.
When your face first went live, part of your head was missing. But the overlay looks great.
And, you know, the whole, you know, you might think, well, why would I bother doing that? Which was actually kind of what I was thinking. Like, JP, why would I bother with this, with creating overlays? And he made a really good point because, you know, when you think about even like news, when you're watching the news or anything like that, like the reason why they have so many things moving or switching or whatever is because that visual is, it's like an attention reset.
Yes.
Right. It's a visual attention reset. And I was like, oh, I never thought about that
way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's why, you know, we implemented it. And I actually do think it, well, as a viewer, do you think that that actually helped?
Yeah, totally. Like I said, it showcased, we talked about personalities of, you know, yourself, the host, the guest, and all of that. And, but then to your point, the brand. So the way that you go about with these overlays is really about kind of bringing that to life as well. So I think we could do it in a few fun ways. So I think, and then, it's kind of, it feels like you're watching more than just, in this case, I mean, it's a really good conversation, yeah. But you know, you're just watching two people speak sometimes. It's kind of just, yeah, visually resets you and kind of just gives you opportunity, I think, to bring the brand more to life. And it just kind of excites, that's exciting to explore as well.
Yeah. So for the next masterclass, which will be happening, gosh, in a couple of weeks' time when this goes live.
Yes.
We're going to have more to experiment with. Yeah. So definitely, yeah, keep an eye out. If you're on an email list, definitely read your emails and get in on that masterclass so you can see it in action again. Hopefully I would have improved some of the things.
Yes.
But even well, even if
there's
not,
more mistakes, yeah. There's the fun.
The mistakes are the fun part, right?
Yes.
But we will have more overlays. I want to work on some tickers and things like that, things that will move on screen and stuff like that. So you can see that actually coming to life and in action on the next masterclass. Yay. On YouTube. Now, I do want to talk, so that's the live masterclass. Now, I do want to talk about the podcast itself.
Mm-hmm. Because the way your voice lower there, you're like, podcast. There are pre-recorded weekly drops.
Yes, pre-recorded.
Like this episode.
Yeah, so I mean, what would be interesting is whether, even on the pre-recorded, doing overlays, you know, whether we do overlays.
Mm, and,
you know, right? Because we just never had thought about it that way. So that's something that we could experiment with. But let's just say that, like, how we approach the pre-recorded podcast on YouTube is still a work in progress.
Yes.
And we're still trying to feel our way through that.
I would say so. There's definitely obviously the technical nous required to do the editing and things like that. And we're very fortunate to have someone on the team who can do that really well. But I think it's now just more the strategy behind it. Like, how do we want to continue to reset attention how without it being distracting, like all that kind of stuff. But I'd be keen to try overlays and see what that does, as well as obviously the usual stuff to, you know, interrupt in between to keep people engaged.
Yeah. Yeah. So maybe you'll start to see some cool things happening.
Yeah. Just over here, something will pop up over here.
Yeah.
Clearly is why I don't do it.
Yeah. Okay. But the really, really cool thing is that, by the way, if you got in on Capture Club as a founding member, then you're going to get even deeper access to the strategies, the how-tos, the things that we're doing. Like, we will literally coach you through how to do pretty much all of this inside of Capture Club. Now, again, if you got in at the right time, you're on our founding member price, which is literally
anxiety-inducing.
An 80% saving. Because we're not only going to help you win the content game on social, like win the social media content game, i.e. get clients from social, we're not only going to help you win the YouTube content game, i.e. get clients from YouTube, but it's also going to be through things like blogging and short form videos and all of the things. So there's so much that is going to happen inside of Capture Club. So if you haven't heard of it and you're not in, then fingers crossed, you can still get the founding member prize, only 100 spots available. Otherwise, I mean, we would love to see you at the full price anyway. Please pay us more money.
We personally would love to see you, man.
We would love for you to pay us more money. Yeah. So
we're going to do that. We'd love to be, you know, make some money on this as well. Because we are also entrepreneurs trying to get clients from our content.
We are also trying to win the content game. Just kidding, not kidding.
Kind of kidding, yeah. Kidding, but not really. Yeah.
Anyway, so I hope you enjoyed that. A little bit of a breakdown of how we are leveraging YouTube and the things that we're doing. And for an even deeper breakdown, because I bet you didn't even think that was possible, but let me assure you, it is possible to go even deeper than what we did in this episode. But Butter and Ash do a weekly episode, a weekly podcast called Players Only. which lives in our community, our Facebook community. And so if you want access to that, to them talking about how we are actually on the ground implementing the things, then we'll leave the link in the show notes. So Facebook group, and then you'll be able to access players only as well.
Very so exciting.
That's it for today. My name is Deidre.
I'm Bonner.
And as always, stay intelligently lazy.